live from the closet at Rich's weekend getaway. It's Shenanigans.
No.
Let me out.
This week it's Walden, who doesn't say anything. Matt.
So I'm three fingers deep.
Oh.
In my nose.
And I'm Craig. Welcome to Shenanigans. No Rich this week.
No Rich. Let's see if we can carry it without him.
Oh, please.
It's a lot of reading for you now, Craig.
Yeah, I've only have five articles plus Canada Watch. I kept it short and simple.
Is that why?
Yes. That and Rich puts up like 40 fucking articles. And then I have to go through it and figure out what's going to work. Well, why didn't you pick this one?
Right. Well, that and we're just going to talk a bunch of sports, I'm sure.
We could.
Or, just wake me up when you're done.
Oh, come on. You like baseball too, right?
Well, I'm a novice sports guy. I'm not completely rich.
We had Lucy here for 2 weeks, and the first day that night she was here, it was just Lucy and Rich and me. And Rich is like, all right, there's a girl here, no sports. And then we talk sports.
All sports.
Because she's a sports fan.
So he still was the...
Yep.
Non-athletic girl.
He just doesn't like it for some reason. Tonight is game one in Buffalo, right?
Tonight or tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Record? Is it tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
It looks pretty slick. The Bisons were putting up stuff on Twitter this morning.
Were they?
Yeah, they had the inside of the concourse where they're putting the batting cages in. Oh, beautiful. We never need fans again. We'll just have that.
Right. Yeah, that works. And somebody posted there's a bar that's like, right down the street from the stadium. The owner said, we're not reopening. We're just putting it up for sale. I'm like, yeah, that'd be pretty nice to have a bar right next to the baseball stadium once all the shit passes over.
And we have the Montreal Expos permanently.
There you
go. Oh, wait, that was 1988, wasn't it? I was reading in yesterday's newspaper about all the times that the Rich family, who owned the Bisons, tried to get Major League Baseball in Buffalo. They tried to buy the Expos, and their sale was refused. They tried to get the Expos to come to Buffalo to finish out the season after part of their stadium fell apart. They had a big piece of the upper deck or whatever fall down.
Whoops.
So they played someplace else, even though Buffalo was giving them a home. And then when expansion hit, I mean, they put everything behind the expansion, and they gave the Marlins the team rather than Buffalo.
I vaguely remember that.
So it's kind of ironic that the first regular season game in Major League Baseball for Buffalo is going to be against the Marlins.
Hope they whoop their asses.
Yeah.
Have the Marlins played since they were...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Have they?
Yep. Their B team beat the shit out of the Orioles.
Oh.
Three games in a row. And
I was just going to tell you, it looked like the Orioles are doing better than expected.
They're 500.
Season. Yeah.
Oh, they were last I checked yesterday. I don't know if they were even active today.
But that team that's leading that division right now, and I'm not going to say it, even though I saw the sticker on somebody's truck tonight.
27 rings.
They're hitting the long ball big time this season.
That's what they do. That's what they're built for.
Not a fan of Judge at all?
He's a good player. He wears a fucked up uniform, but he's a good player.
Because it has pinstripes on it?
That's right. It's like a fucking seersucker or something.
I think that we can all agree here, though. We like the bottom dweller, the basement dweller in the East right now. We like that they're right where they're at.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy about that. My fantasy team's not so happy. But
no? You have Red Sox on your fantasy team?
Yeah,
oh, boy.
I believe so.
You know what else I'm really happy about? Houston sucking this year.
They deserve that.
Do you know how many Twitter accounts are there or Instagram accounts are there just following the dismay and destruction and hit-by-pitches of that team? It's amazing to
me. It is. And I can't believe that... What's his name from the Dodgers got that huge suspension?
Oh, yeah. 8 games. Well, oh, what the fuck's his name? I can't remember.
But it's 8 games. You don't. He's a relief guy.
A 60-game season.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Because he boo-hooed the...
Oh, he stuck that lip out. It was beautiful.
Oh, it was. It was awesome. I think that's why, is that there was so much hubbaloo. Like, yeah, this is the man. They didn't want to like promote any more of that. So they made an example of him so that... No more of that happens where the fans can go, yeah.
But
because fan excitement has no place in the game, which is why 2020 is the perfect season for the Major League Baseball.
Right.
Right.
Cardboard fans.
Weekend at Bernie's, dude. Bernie.
I saw that. That was fun.
Dude, they won. There's no point in us even trying to think of somebody.
Nope, not at all. Like, are you fucking kidding me? That's great. The other thing that's happening and happened today while we record, Howie is a very happy man.
Yes.
I completely disagree with the way that it fell. Not that it fell to the Rangers for the first overall pick in the NHL. The fact that it went to a team that was still playing.
Right.
It should have been one of those seven other teams who had the chance to get the first overall pick.
Yeah, it's a mess. I hope they do not continue to do it this way. It's just...
And did I offend Howie a little bit when I said that the Rangers should trade the number one with Ottawa for 3 and 5?
Why not?
It would be a great idea.
Yeah. I mean, they've got... Well, they need a center, number one. So
in the top 10 this year, 6 to 8 of them are ready to make impacts immediately. So if you trade the number one pick overall to Ottawa and you take 2 players, 3 and 5, they're still high picks.
Right,
you're going to have
picks.
2 impact players. They're not paying a huge butt ton for because they're not number one.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's one way to go.
I will say that I'm extraordinarily happy that it was not Edmonton that got that pick.
Yeah, that would have been Nyl Yakupov.
That was the guy?
That's the name I was trying to think of last week.
I went through it. I think they had 4 number one picks in the last decade and 6 top 5 picks in a 10-year period.
Right.
And they still suck.
They had 3 first-rounders, for 3 number ones in a row or something
yes.
like that?
Yep.
Ridiculous. And when was the last time they won a playoff game? Did they win one this year or did they get swept?
I don't think they got swept. I think they may have won one. I could be wrong.
Well, series. I'll change it.
Yeah. They used to say that about the Sabres in the 80s, though. They could never get past the first round. Never get by Boston, man. And then when they did, I remember where I was that night. That was the May Day goal.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big night.
That was always a big rivalry.
Yes. And it doesn't help matters any that the owners of the Boston Bruins live in Buffalo.
And own half of Western New York.
Right. They get all your concessions. That's why I won't buy a concession at the arena or at the baseball field or at the football stadium because there's no fucking way I'm giving any money to the Bruins.
Right.
And all the three-way stops. I don't know how far east they go, but...
Really?
All of them around here, yeah.
Are owned by them?
It's Delaware North ending.
Oh, I'll have to remember that because I don't want to give any money to the Bruins.
I mean, way out... You know, toward Albany, it's not them. It's a different company, but...
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Me either.
Nope. I see that Nick Saban and Harbaugh up there in Michigan are clamoring for a football season. We got to have it.
Well, I guess they voted and they said there would be no season, so they're trying to fight for it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they collectively have 17 million reasons to play football this season. I don't want to get political here, but I'm going to. The fact that you're at a public university and you're making $8 million while your players can't make any money, and the fact that the university is turning people away because they can't afford tuition.
Well, Michigan's private. I don't know about Alabama.
Is Michigan? I thought it was a public school.
No, Michigan's private school.
Michigan State
is a public school, but fuck those guys.
Yeah, I can't stand Jim Harbaugh anyway. School.
Yeah, Jim, I'm not a fan. I grew up liking Michigan, but I'm not a...
It is a public university in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Really? I thought it was a private school.
Well,
For the amount of money the tuition is, you'd think it was a private school.
You know what I say, and I made this comment last weekend and no one really said anything about it. Number one, eliminate gambling on any college games. Because that's part of what makes it so lucrative for the colleges.
Right.
The fact that you can go to Vegas and bet on it. Then the second thing would be, I have to look it up because I'll tell you exactly what I said. And you guys will probably disagree with me. And I
remember your comment and I agree with it, but I didn't feel like engaging anybody else that might have been contrary to it.
College coaches at public colleges and universities should not make salaries in the millions of dollars while that same college and university is turning deserving students away because they can't afford tuition. If a college student's jersey or image generates income for the school should have to pay a percentage to that student, but it should be placed in escrow until that student successfully graduates from the college.
I would add the caveat that if the athlete needed that for tuition or books or anything,
right.
Use that, because that's what it should be for. It should be to help him.
Right. And a lot of those guys get pretty good scholarships. So.
Right. And they're draft eligible after their junior year. So if you've got a freshman, sophomore, junior who made $4 million over those 3 years in jersey sales and he gets 10% of that and then opts to go into the draft, NFL. He loses that money, right?
That's what I would say. You got to complete the program.
Mm, I don't know. I think they're still entitled to that money that they're bringing into the school.
I would agree with you. They've earned the college earned that money. Give them that taste.
But there's no way that a public school like Michigan or where's Saban at? Is it Alabama?
Alabama
should be paying their coaches $8 million and $9 million.
If they're bringing in revenue 10 times that,
they're bringing in that revenue
program,
by having a successful program, give them bonuses, but then use that money to help the students be able to go to school there. Because that's ultimately what it's about.
Like you said, yeah, there's students that need the aid that can't get it
right. While
this guy's making millions of dollars a year.
Yep. It's an unwinnable argument.
Right.
It really is, because there's...
And I understand that there'll be people who are upset that I even mentioned it, and you know
he's entitled to make as much money as he can. Which
I agree.
Which
I entirely agree.
Yes, but then there's my statement a lot of times: who deserves to make millions of dollars a year? That's part of what's wrong with society today.
I'll tell you who deserves to make millions of dollars a year: the man or woman who invents something, puts all his life savings into it, and makes something successful out of it. He should be rewarded for that through the hard work and tenacity in order to make that happen.
And he was a local guy, did that. Now it's Baxter Medical in Medina.
I also think at some point, and maybe it's just me, the accumulation of wealth is a game I'm not ready to play. If I make a lot of money, I have enough for myself and make sure I have my kids if they need something. But then there's so much community need, that's where the money's got to go.
Right.
But I'm a different bird than most people, I think.
And I know people that have money that if it wasn't for them, places like Medina wouldn't have the United Way and wouldn't have that YMCA and this and that, because people don't realize that this prick that is an asshole a lot of times to people has funded things.
And we all utilize. Think those are the best types of benefactors, the ones that are just doing it and then aren't looking for the pat on the back.
Right.
I like them the best. I don't need the building named after me. I'm just going to give you the money so that these kids can do what they need to do.
Yep.
Because in 20 years, they're going to have to change the name of the building anyway when they find out all the shit you did.
Right.
So,
if they ever listen to our podcast, I am fucked. It will be the Craigie Bacon Memorial Urinal.
The septic tank. Craigie Bacon septic tank.
Another week, another what if. Are they going to have a football season this year?
Your guess is as good as mine.
I don't know. It's a...
Better question. What's happening to your dog right now?
She's crying because nobody's paying attention to her here.
Sweet Jesus.
A couple of weeks ago, it was just me and Idalina here, and then she went and spent the night at her cousin's house, so it was just me. The dog sleeps in the little's room, in number 3 and number 4's room. She's not allowed in our bedroom at all. Well, I want to go and sleep in my own bed, and I put her in the room across the hall. She cried for 2 hours. I'm like, fuck this. So I took her downstairs. I laid down on the couch so I could snooze until she fell asleep, and then I go upstairs. She cried till 3:45 in the morning.
Why didn't you just bring her on the couch you do and cuddle?
No.
That's what she wanted.
That's what she wanted.
She wanted to be the little spoon, Craig.
Nope. So she finally fell asleep, and within 20 minutes of falling asleep, the Buffalo News carrier threw the newspaper at the door, and it bounced off the door, and then she's awake and going nuts. I got no sleep. It was awful. We just talked about the Craig Bacon Memorial Urinal. I had to go to my doctor's appointment today, and kidneys are an important part of your body.
Generally, yes.
Yes. So I go in, and you know what? I have felt the best I have felt over the past year than I have felt in years. Feel great. I go to the doctor. I get out of there. I don't feel so great anymore. I get all this stuff wrong with me. First of all, I get in there, and I have a couple issues I want to bring up. First of all, I need to bring up, I can be super tired, ready to fall asleep, actually falling asleep, but as soon as I lay down in bed, wide awake, like I can't sleep. It'll take me hours to get to sleep, even though I'm ready to fall asleep before I get there.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked that question, is there something that I need to do? What is the problem? Why is this happening? First thing he says to me is, do you have ringing in your ear? Do you have tinnitus? Yeah, I have it all the time. Over the last 30 some years, I've gone to almost 800 concerts, so my ears ring all the time. So he goes, we're in the doctor's office. He goes, can you hear ringing now over the machinery and the computer? I'm like, yeah, like I don't even hear the machinery and computer running. All I hear is the ringing in my ear and you talking. So I have to go to a specialist about tinnitus. see if they can help alleviate some of the ringing in my ear. Sometimes it's so bad at night that it changes pitch, I can't hear anything. Like, when you could be talking to me, you could be looking right at me and talking to me, I can't hear a word you're saying. Your lips are moving like you're Japanese.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So they think that could be the problem. Then he looked at my blood work, and he goes, I need to send you to a kidney specialist because you're showing signs of kidney failure.
What?
Yeah. I feel great, so I'm not sure what the issue is.
I'm wondering what he saw in your blood work.
My creatinine, whatever the hell that is.
Creatinine?
Yeah, it's almost... It's supposed to be under 1.4, and mine's 1.76. So it's elevated, and it's been elevated over the last several years. I will tell you this. There have been times in my life, almost my entire adult life, where I would have one 20-ounce bottle of water a day and one 20-ounce bottle of soda a day, and that's all I would drink. So that's kind of like on the dehydration side. Right. So I've been pounding water lately, like almost a gallon a day, and some days more than a gallon. See if that's going to help. But I learned that you don't actually improve those numbers, really. Once there's been damage to your kidneys, it doesn't fix itself.
Right. It's not like your liver.
Right. And they told me that was high, the lipids or whatever heck it is. Like last year when the woman called from the doctor's office, she goes, well, your blood work came in and your lipids are high. You need to quit drinking so much. And I'm like, I don't drink that much.
You drink just enough to be told to quit drinking so much.
Apparently. Then the other thing is, if I eat after 7 o'clock, about midnight or so, I get this, like this punch of heartburn. I mean, it hits me hard, mm-hmm. and I, all of a sudden I'm coughing and then I'm awake again and I already have trouble getting asleep. And it's worse. I mean, I guarantee it's 10 times worse if I have any dairy. So my doctor goes, well, you idiot, just quit eating dairy. Just stop. So today we
go off. Dr. Newhart, stop it.
We go to dinner and my daughter orders a milkshake. I love ice cream. I love milkshakes. She gets a double chocolate milkshake. My favorite. Like, are you rubbing it in? Like, that I can't have that? And then we got home. I'm over talking to my parents about the kidney thing because my mom had kidney issues when she was younger. So I wanted to see if it was anything that could be congenital or anything. And my wife goes, I think I'm going to partake when I get home tonight. I'm like, fuck!
Your family is so sensitive.
Exactly.
If it isn't one thing, it's another. Do what you want and be happy.
I told him tonight, I said, you know what? Mark is going to be super pissed. Mark's our Schwann's guy. And they're like, she's like, why? I go, because if I can have it, nobody can have it.
I don't think that's how that works.
It's not.
I think the boss is going to trump you.
Yeah. Well, she doesn't eat a lot of ice cream either. Well, actually, I don't eat a lot of ice cream because... I have more than she does, but whenever I get a half gallon of ice cream, I might have one bowl out of it, and then next thing I know, I see the empty container in the garbage.
Yeah.
I have a big bowl, and I have a big boy spoon.
There you go. Yep, that's important.
I don't bother wasting the dishes. I just eat it right out of the cart.
There you go.
No, I can't do that.
I can't either. That's why I quit buying it, because then next thing you know, you're sitting there and the thing's gone.
My big boy spoon is one size down from a spoon that has holes in it.
It's not even a soup spoon.
No, it's not.
Serving spoon from Old Country Buffet.
Serving peas with that. What the hell's wrong with you?
Did you get it from Old Country Buffet?
Yeah, look, there it is.
There you go.
That's not so bad.
I always say that I only get 3 scoops of ice cream out with this. With a spoon, but I curl it up. It's probably about this
big.
There
you go.
Yeah. Yeah, visuals for podcast. Doesn't work out so well. I hear noise coming from behind us. So I don't know who put up articles. What? There was already one up there when I logged in.
It was not me. I can guarantee you that.
No, I didn't.
Okay, so it only could have been Rich.
Richard. Oh. Who's not here because he lost his laptop.
Is that the story we're going with?
I don't know. I figured I'd give him a segue.
We can always say it was confiscated by authorities.
That's not funny.
An overweight, middle-aged nude man found himself at the center of a ridiculous scene chasing down a wild boar while his buns flapped in the wind. According to another visitor to the wherever it was in Germany, a boar and her 2 piglets had been perusing the shore in search of snacks after reportedly consuming a stash of leftover pizza from the backpack of another tourist who was swimming in the lake at the time. The pig posse moved on to the bright yellow bag which they surely thought had food inside. What happened next was pure mayhem. "Nature strikes back," this woman wrote on Facebook, translated from German, alongside photos depicting a naked man running after the swine as smiling and laughing onlookers watched. In the yellow bag was the man's laptop, so he gave it his all in his Adams costume. The man had laughed loudly at the images and authorized her to post them on social media. The dude is running after the pig, and the he's completely naked. So as Rich was running after the bag with his laptop, these boars have been known to stick their snouts where they don't belong. Late last year, a boar in Italy unearthed an estimated $22,000 worth of cocaine that was buried in the Tuscan countryside by drug traffickers. And in May, as the streets of Spain cleared due to pandemic lockdown measures, officers were forced to herd potentially dangerous hogs back to the forest before they could attack residents. So apparently the bag with the laptop got stuck on the tusks, and that's what happened? This is kind of what it looks like.
Yeah.
It could be. I'm trying to see the... There's a few different angles.
Is that Pumbaa?
This is not a problem-free philosophy at all. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does look like it's kind of stuck on the tusks.
I was going to say maybe it's a nudist beach, but nobody else is nude. And look at these pictures. There's nobody else nude.
This guy on the blanket's definitely got his dong out.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
I
oh, the old dude?
Yeah, the old dude on the... It's all old dudes. It's the only people that are naked in this...
Oh, yeah, he's definitely...
Photos,
he's
they're
naked.
The old dudes.
He's naked. All these old dudes are naked.
It's That's old dude it naked day at Camp Keenan.
Oh, my God. Now I see why they call him the Grey Goose.
These boars can run as fast as 30 miles an hour and climb walls up to 6 feet high.
This guy can't.
No.
No, he can't.
I can't do any of those things that you say.
Wait a minute. What's going on here? In the one where you can see the other guy sitting there naked,
yep.
Have they edited out something on the boar?
That's what I was thinking. It looks like there's like a piece of cardboard stuck to its
Maybe.
Leg or something like that. Something fell out of the bag as he was running, and they just caught the picture at that exact moment.
That's the laptop, maybe.
Could be the laptop.
You're talking about that brown square?
Yeah. It almost looks like there's something censored there.
Mm.
Is that dude clapping while he runs?
Yeah, I appreciate them taking that picture while his camera side leg is in front.
Exactly.
To block the dong. Of course, the belly could be doing that anyways.
He's got a dicky-do?
He's got a dicky-do. It's a fuel tank for a sex machine.
Oh. That's what they say about when you lose your hair, that it's a solar panel for loving.
There you go.
Speaking of laptops, Apple, those dirty, rotten sons of bitches, they are taking legal action against a small company's Pear logo. Prepare is a meal planner and grocery list app that helps people discover recipes and more. It's a spinoff from the founders of Super Healthy Kids, and right now they're saying its logo is under legal attack from Apple. According to the founders, Apple has opposed the trademark application for our small business, Prepare, demanding that we change our obviously pear-shaped logo used to represent our brand in the recipe management and meal planning business. So they put a petition on change.org, which does nothing but put a petition on change.org. Nothing changes.
Right.
Before attacking us, Apple has opposed dozens of other trademark applications filed by small businesses with fruit-related logos. Many of those logos were changed or abandoned. Most small businesses cannot afford the tens of thousands of dollars it would cost to fight Apple. Prepare is a small company with only five staff, and legal costs have already cost them many thousands of dollars. And they had to lay off one team member.
The logo is not even close.
Right. I mean, it looks like a pear. Why would they care? Can't have any fruit logos because Apple doesn't like it?
Apparently.
They had an update from yesterday. They prepared their trademark for the logo back in January 2017 and was told by the U.S. Trademark Office that it was not in conflict with any other registered trademarks and they would publish it for opposition. Everything seemed good to go. That was until on the last day of the window to oppose the trademark, we received notice that Apple had filed for an extension of the window to oppose, and they subsequently filed for additional extensions, which put our trademark into legal limbo for an extended period of time. So they went around and they dangled the carrot and fucked them.
Right. And they'll just keep it in limbo until this other company decides we've we can't afford to
right
dick around
until they've had enough.
Yeah.
Interestingly, there was a show on Disney. I don't remember. iCarly.
Was it Disney? It was. I remember they.
Or maybe it was Nickelodeon. One of those.
One of those. It was. They. Their products were Paraphones.
They were Paraphones and all that stuff because they were using Apple phones, but did not get permission or they didn't pay enough.
They wouldn't pay the right to
right
use them.
So they agreed with Apple to put the pear shape on there. Bunch of bullshit anyway.
It is.
Apple makes billions of dollars and they're going after little guys.
Everything is inferior to the pyramid anyway. Or the triangle. It's an Office reference.
I haven't watched all The Office. Like I've watched none.
You haven't seen any Office?
No.
Not even the British version?
No. I want to see the British version, actually. Just like I want to watch the British version of House of Cards.
And Shameless.
There's a British version of Shameless?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does it have Emily Rossum in it?
No.
I don't know. I liked her in the first couple seasons, and then she kind of, you know, grated on me. I didn't
she
like her.
She got
as
all
much.
Uppity and wouldn't show her boobs. And
it's not even that. It's just that her character was stuck in the same loop where she never did anything new, and it was always the same exact thing. You knew exactly what was going to happen. Same thing with Lip.
Yeah.
His arc just went around in a circle.
Yep.
Then it's not an arc, is it?
Nope. Carl was my favorite. I thought he was hilarious. And I haven't watched the last two seasons, so I have no idea what happened to him. Don't tell me.
I won't.
Meanwhile, it is an election year, and Las Vegas-based not-for-profit Hookers for Jesus,
yes,
has won a fresh grant from the U.S. Justice Department less than a year after union officials filed a whistleblower complaint with the department's internal watchdog protesting federal funds awarded to this organization. A group run by born-again Christian survivor of sex trafficking operates a safe house for adult trafficking victims known as Destiny House. It was a target of a December complaint by the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees Local 2830, which asked the Justice Department's Inspector General to investigate whether politics factored into a grant for the group. It was the second such complaint filed by the union, raising concerns about the grant review process. Hookers for Jesus is set to receive $500,000 in fresh federal funding, part of $35 million in grants to help provide housing for trafficking victims unveiled at the White House on Tuesday. This is on top of the $500,000 that Hookers for Jesus was awarded in 2019 to help expand services for trafficking victims. Now, the title of this was funny. Hookers for Jesus win fresh round of funding from the Trump administration. But what they're doing is actually good.
Right.
Right.
It's not a bunch of hookers donating to political campaigns.
But it is hookers.
But it's hookers trying to get trafficked kids off the street.
Yep. And now there's some group that says that this is wrong.
Of course there's some group that says it's wrong.
I just wonder why they didn't just like do it like a way less abrasive name.
Yeah, Hookers for Jesus kind of lends itself to
the Mary Magdalene Foundation or something like that. Would just be way less abrasive. Copyright
except
shenanigans 2020.
I just thought it was interesting how they named it. It was almost like they were looking for a specific reaction.
Right.
Maybe that's why.
Meanwhile, dynamite in a car turns out to be a beef stick, according to Kansas police. First responders in Kansas were called to the report of an explosive in a car only to find it was nothing but a beefy snack. It happened around 4:45 in the afternoon Wednesday when police and firefighters responded to what was reported to be a stick of dynamite attached to the dash of a vehicle. So basically, someone snapped into a Slim Jim, got the 2-for-1 deal at Quick Fill, and threw the second one on the dash.
Sure. You want to warm it up.
That's what you do in the wintertime. I'm not sure I would do it in the summertime.
You can get a little ripe.
Then you have all that grease all over there. Oh, well. Then it would smell forever.
Smell like prom night all over again.
Oh. Your night did not go well.
That wasn't a good weekend.
Upon units arriving and securing the area, it was discovered that the item in question was a beef stick still in its wrapper. How do you mistake?
Some idiot Karen saw it and called it in because they're stupid.
That was like the idiot Karens. It drives me out of my mind that people will call the health department or call in neighbors or call in businesses because you're not wearing your mask the right way. They're having live music there or they're having any music there. The first 4 days of August, the Erie County Health Department had 8,000 anonymous tips.
Snitches.
Now, they've got better things to be policing.
Right.
But these neighborhood watch bitches have to fucking call in on all that stupid shit.
My wife was supposed to play volleyball on Thursday nights over at a local bar around the corner, and they killed that. Even though they were going to wear masks, they had to take separate entrances to get there. They couldn't go back into the bar once they had been out there. There was a big set of rules, but someone complained that you're having volleyball. They are wearing their PPE. They are their own separate entrance. They are not allowed to go back into the bar, but, you know, you can't have it. So they're not doing it at all.
Yeah, they just make it too hard to have to hold anything.
Drives me out of my mind. Cannot stand it. We mentioned a little bit earlier about having to change the name of places after they've listened to what we've talked about.
Right, yep.
They have to change the name of a room in your house because of slavery connotations. They have to change the name of the master bedroom to something different.
Oh, yes.
So my question is, does that mean you should take out the whips and chains too?
Ooh. Oh, my God.
Technically, if you're going to follow the letter of that complaint, yes. Although mine is, I've always...
You have your own room, right?
Yeah.
You just had the dungeon.
The dojo, I call it.
Okay. That's not a mannequin. That's a love doll.
The Matt Johnson.
The Matt Johnson.
If you're looking at real estate listings, you might notice a surprising change in the terminology used to describe a key room in many houses and apartments in the near future. The master suite is being renamed by many real estate agents. According to a June 24th report in the Houston Chronicle, the Houston Association of Realtors has decided to do away with the term master as it applies to real estate, noting that it could be perceived as having ties to slavery. In its place, the group will be using the word primary, as in primary bedroom and primary bath.
That's actually the prefix to, instead of calling a young man or a child male Mr. Mosier, you would call them master. My great-grandmother used to address our...
Master Bates! Master Bates!
She used to address our holiday cards and that, like that. And that's how I learned that. Can we take it just too far?
Probably.
And we're gonna. I mean, we are. It's a fucking bedroom. It's where you fucking sleep.
Right.
Did you say fucking sleep or fuck and sleep?
Both.
Change it to the fuck stall. Right.
This is the primary sex palace in the room.
The masturbatorium for some of us.
Correct.
Let me tell you a funny story about that.
Okay.
I'm going to make fun of myself here a little bit. So I'm at the doctor's office today, and I am friends with my doctor. Let me tell you, there are pros and cons to being friends with your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
They get to see parts of you that your friends should never see.
Correct.
However, you can make jokes while you're in the doctor's office.
Also correct.
He's got a new student intern and a new PA starting today. So what do I get? I get the intern who's doing all the initial blood work stuff and checking my blood pressure and asking me all the questions. And then the doctor comes in with her and with his new PA because I'm the first customer of the day for her. So I said, now, have you ever noticed that when...
I don't know where this is going, but I don't like it already.
Have you ever noticed that after you start taking blood pressure medication, it goes from dun da 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 to dun da da da? And he said, yeah, that can happen. So let me ask the question. How often do you have sex? I go, in a typical week or in how it is now when everybody's home and always at home? Well, in a typical week, how many times did you have sex? And I answer with 2 to 3 times, sometimes more, rarely less, unless you're talking about with myself also.
12 to 15 times a week.
And the two girls turned as red as my microphone cover when I said that.
That would have been my first question. Sex with somebody else in the room?
Like
or
partner?
Because I beat that little bastard like I own it.
They're going to have to change that too.
Right? Can't beat your meat anymore.
That's right.
You have to aggressively massage it.
They'll call it Bidening. Then you smell its hair. Sorry, was that political?
If you could smell its hair, you don't need a girlfriend.
You need a groomer.
I made a joke one time on Facebook about mustache hair, saying trim it, otherwise it'll tickle her nose. And one of the most straight-laced people I know goes, oh, you didn't go there, did you? Thinking I was talking about the nether regions. No, I wasn't going there, but now that you said that, yes, it's exactly what I meant.
Now that you open the door, I'm walking through.
You just turned 40 over there last year, correct?
No.
2 years ago?
I'm 42.
Did you had to go through all the new 40-year-old doctor's visits?
I just get an EKG now.
They did my EKG, and my resting heart rate was 54, and I have a good, strong heartbeat.
Good.
Yeah. Plus, you live with a nurse, so she'll know if there's something wrong.
Yeah, I'm a solid 120 over 80 all the time.
Uh-huh.
So.
Never been.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Clockwork. Except for occasionally when I go, oh God! No.
That started to worry me after I had kids. Like, my grandfather died of a heart attack at 52.
Yep.
So I'm thinking, holy cow, you know, that's young. Because we're 30 when we're having our first kids. Jesus, now that I'm having kids, I have to think about, I shouldn't eat like that because I don't want to give myself a heart attack. I want to make sure it's weird.
Right.
Yeah. If you care about your kids.
Oh.
And I don't want to give a fart.
Yeah, you just spent the whole weekend watching baseball games.
Right.
How many did you play yesterday?
One yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of funny when you get to the playoffs and the one organization that rostered two teams for the tournament rostered everybody on both teams so they can stack the teams depending on who they're playing.
Sleazy friggin' move.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily illegal or against the rules. So.
Yeah, I see it happening all the time in hockey, too. Same thing. It's weird. We don't have Rich with us this week, so we're not going to have a website of the week. But never fear, we are still going to have a Canada Watch.
I could have found your website of the week. I don't know that you want it on your...
something I'm not going to put on my search.
Search yeah. On
Canada Watch.
Your listening pleasure is Canada Watch.
Smell like pine trees in moose piss.
Canada Watch. Your furry hat matches your furry underpants. It's a design flaw, or you need a trim?
Canada Watch.
Do you smell like beaver dams and old toes?
Canada Watch.
Your uncle looks suspiciously like an elk.
Canada Watch.
Sure does get lonely up there in the Yukon.
Canada Watch.
We have the polar bears and the milk in the bag, y'all.
Canada Watch.
Hey, Gord. We still like you, though.
Canada Watch.
An Alberta brewery apologizes for using a Maori language, naming a beer pubic hair.
Oh, you forgot to play the music.
I played the music.
Oh, okay.
It'll be there.
Unless I forget again. And then Rich will yell at me.
He sure will.
He yells at me for nothing.
Welcome to my life for the last 42 years.
Really? So what's the Penny story, by the way?
Penny story?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So as a teenager, I liked to sleep in. Teenagers, yeah. pretty lazy overall. But anytime we had separate bedrooms, so anytime my mom would be like, go wake up your brother, he would come into my room. I always had a pile of pennies on my desk or whatever, and he would pick them up and he would chuck them at me.
As a handful or one at a time?
One at a time.
And then he said he had to do it from the doorway so he could run and get a head start.
Right. Because, I mean, he's bigger than me, but...
You're quicker.
I'm pretty ferocious.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was the one that would wake me up by pegging me with pennies.
As long as they weren't ass pennies, you're good.
Right. That's where I draw the line. Do you know about ass pennies, Matt?
No.
Okay. Should I explain ass pennies?
Yes.
Or you can go back to like episode 37 and just cut it in, and then we can learn that. It's like almost a best of, since it's just a short episode. So ass pennies, you ever see the Upright Citizens Brigade? It was a show on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
But they had a sketch where it's two guys on the golf course and they're talking. And one guy's like really successful, and the guy's asking him for advice on how to be like a dominant person. And he's like, here's what I do. Every day, I take 2 pennies and I shove them up my ass. Now, I've been doing this for years and years. So 2 pennies every day for the last 20 years. That means there's so many numbers of pennies out there that have been up my ass. So the odds are, anytime I meet somebody and I shake their hand, I know in their pocket is a penny that's been up my ass. So ass pennies are pennies that have been up an ass, essentially. That was a long way to tell it, but it was pretty obvious from saying ass pennies.
Sure. So back to the rich and the throwing of the pennies. Did you ever get them? Catch them?
I never tried too hard.
No?
No. We've had our skirmishes. But never after a penny throwing incident, I don't think.
It seems like you've probably been able to whoop his ass for quite a while.
I think we're pretty much drawn even at this point. Once I stopped being fit and active and playing sports, and there was an incident. I'll let him tell you about it.
Okay.
When he's back, you can ask him about the van trip down transit.
The van trip down transit.
Right.
I'll remember that.
See, I want to hear his version of it.
Okay. It's not like the Footloose over and over again while going on vacation.
No, no. I still owe him one for that.
So anyway, back to Canada. An Alberta brewery has apologized for unknowingly naming their beer pubic hair after using a Maori word they thought meant feather.
It's close.
Two years ago.
I can see the confusion.
Maybe. Hell's Basement Brewery leased Huru Huru New Zealand Hopped Pale Ale. This week, a guy who was Maori took to Facebook to explain Huru Huru actually means pubic hair in Te Reo, the language spoken by the Maori people. He called out the brewery and another shop in New Zealand for both using the word. Huru Huru has been unleashed throughout Alberta. Have you said hello to our little friend? It's the perfect summer beer, light with body, with subtle citrus flavor from the New Zealand hops. Find one in the wild or in Alberta's liquor stores and pubs.
And pubs, not pubes.
Right.
I mean, the way they describe the beer sounds delicious.
It does.
And that is a cool sounding name.
So Hell's Basement, Shenanigans would like some beer. We'll try it.
Let's stop fucking with the Canadian breweries.
Because they're never going to give it to us. No.
Although if you had a pubic hair on your dildo.
There you go. Can I have a Huru Huru and a dildo, please? What's the first thing most Maori think when they hear the word Huru Huru? Asked Nakora in the video. It was brought to my attention a few days ago. There's a shop in Wellington, and it's called Huru Huru Authentic Leather. He said he sent the shop a Facebook message to ask what they thought the word meant. He said they responded with they found it in a dictionary as a word for feather. When the Maori look at the name of your store, they're not going to see feather or soft leather. They're going to see pubes. He said in the video that after posting about the shop, he was tagged in a post by Hell's Basement Brewery, located in Medicine Hat. I left them a wee message. You know, Huru Huru is the Maori word for pubic hair, eh? Maori, as in the indigenous people of the place the British invaders named New Zealand. He said some people call it appreciation, but he calls it appropriation. The product's going to have to be rebranded. The interpretation was intended as feather, meaning the beer itself was light as a feather, and it's also stated in the name. We acknowledge we did not consider the commonplace use of the term Huru Huru as reference to pubic hair, and that consultation with the Maori representative would have been a better reference than online dictionaries.
Generally.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what's happening in Canada this week.
Is medicine hat on your pubes? Put the medicine on the hat, not the pubes.
Don't keep the medicine near the helmet.
And definitely out of your meatus.
Exactly. Your corona meatus.
Coronal meatus. Oh, my God.
You guys have anything else you'd like to add?
2 plus 2.
He just stumped me.
Oh. Did you ever hear the...
Not in front of the kids.
Not in front...
Don't stump them in front of the kids.
Have you ever heard the Jimmy Buffett song called Math Sucks?
No.
Great tune.
There's a Jimmy Buffett station on my satellite radio, too, so...
I like the fact that you were listening to 1972 Grateful Dead when you pulled up at my house.
I did that just for you.
And I started singing the song.
Right. Telling me about your sex change.
That was not what we were talking about.
I've been trying to branch out since I have access to all these different types of music.
They have a Tom Petty station.
They do have a Tom Petty station. They had a Beastie Boys station, but they moved it, and I can't find it.
Uh-oh.
It might just have been temporary. Some of those are just temporary.
The Grateful Dead station is permanent and so far, and the Tom Petty one is. Those are the two stations I listen to typically.
Pearl Jam has a station.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Fish.
Yeah.
Fish Radio. I'll give it a shot. I was sitting in the parking lot of the veterinary clinic while they cut my dog's nails, and I was listening to Fish Radio just for the hell of it.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. There's a great video if you Google. It's not the website of the week, but it could be the video of the week. What fish sounds like to people who don't like fish, and it's absolutely fucking spot on. It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I am not a fish fan. There's some songs I like, but for the most part,
I mean, I don't know the difference between them and the Grateful Dead.
Huge difference. The Grateful Dead have jazzy improv to it, and they have a blues background and a country western background infused with psychedelia and rock. So it's a little easier to handle. Fish have absurdist lyrics, and they have monotonous jams. I appreciate that what they do is they're the pioneers of those things.
Mm.
But to me, the musical exploration is not as well done as the Grateful Dead. I like jazz improv anyway. So when the Dead do it, they have good nights and they have bad nights. All bands do.
Sure.
And the bad nights are terrible, but the good nights are magical. And they really, you know, really explore where the music can go.
Right. But yeah, when I was listening to Fish Radio, like the guy that was like, the guy who would talk between songs, he was like, this date in this city versus this date in this city, like they all know when the best sets were and like what song, what different way they played it, or mm-hmm. like the Tragically Hip, like they always had the little things that they would kind of jam,
right?
And Gord would talk insanity over it and stuff like that.
New Orleans is Sinking,
right? I had a job once.
Yes, right. I love
the Killer Whale Tank.
Yes, love it. The Grateful Dead kind of have the same thing.
Mm.
I have a book called Dead Bass, and it lists all the concerts that they've ever played and what songs were played.
Wow.
And then in the other pages of the book, they played 2,400 shows, and I have most of them.
That's a lot.
Yes. And so there'll be some years that are really good, some years that are bad. The versions of the song change over the years. Like the way they play a song in 1973 was not the same way they played it in 1993.
Right.
It almost sounds like a completely different song in some cases. And there are rankings in the back pages, like, okay, is this Eyes of the World better than this Eyes of the World? And
right.
Which Dark Star is better? You know, that weird kind of stuff. I don't get into it like that. I listen for the music and whether it moves me or not. It can be any genre of music. Like, I just posted on Facebook last night the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction for George Harrison when Tom Petty, Jeff Lynne, Danny Harrison, and
Prince yep.
were playing, and Prince, like, as soon as I hear that song, just thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. I got it on my legs. Yeah.
I like
tinglies.
My God.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. Like, Prince just blew everybody out of the water.
I was reading more about that. Like, they practiced, and they didn't practice with Prince very much, and they knew at some point he was going to go, and they had no idea, and they're just trying to follow along with it, and Prince would give little signals like he was almost done, and he faked Tom Petty out at one time because Petty wanted to go up to the microphone, and he stepped back because Prince was like, yeah, fooled ya, and kept on playing. Like, they had no idea what he was going to do, and he just shred that guitar.
Right. Yeah, there was an interview, I think I was with Eric Clapton.
Yeah.
And somebody said something about,
what's it feel like to be the greatest guitar player?
Right.
He said, ask Prince.
Ask Prince, yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, I never had a clue. Obviously, I grew up around Prince's music, but never really got into it.
Right.
So, to realize that he was just ridiculously good at guitar.
The Purple Rain thing happened right at the most formative years for me musically, when you really start digging a style, and so that was right there, you know, just as you're entering junior high school, Purple Rain comes out, and you know, for like your brother and I, who are the same age, that music right there is, you know, it was a defining moment.
It's crazy good.
Yep. Well, anyway, thank you for joining us for Shenanigans for Walden, and Matt.
Hi, everybody.
Thanks for listening, and have a good night.